Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson. July 24th is a big day in the state of Utah. It is the day that is set aside to celebrate when the Mormon pioneers came into the Salt Lake Valley. And it's a story that probably every member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is probably quite familiar. However, if you really look into this story beyond the surface, you find that there are, in fact, quite a few contradictions that come with this story. There was an article on the ilovehistory.utah.gov website. It's a government website, and it was an article titled, 1847, Mormons Enter the Salt Lake Valley. And this is what that article says. It says, in the heat of July 1847, 143 Mormons drove wagons down Immigration Canyon into the Salt Lake Valley, intending to plant fields, build homes, and stay. They were hundreds of miles from the nearest town or city. Why had they come so far to live? What goes on to say, a lot of people in Illinois and Missouri didn't like the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, nicknamed the Mormon Church. They persecuted Mormons and drove them out of their states. A mob killed the Mormons' leader, Joseph Smith, in 1844, and still the violence didn't get any better. So the new leader, Brigham Young, decided to take his people west in the hope that they might find a new land where they could live and worship peacefully.
In spring 1847, the first band of pioneers headed for the Rocky Mountains, with Brigham Young leading the party. After 111 days on the trail, on July 22, 1847, the first group entered the valley. Right away, they started to plant crops and irrigate the new fields. Brigham Young was sick and riding in a wagon further back. On July 24th, his wagon came within view of the Salt Lake Valley below. He sat up, looked it over, and said, quote, "It is enough. This is the right place. Drive on," end quote. And then in parentheses at the end of that, it says, "Or at least, that's what someone said," he said, 33 years after that day. So no one knows his exact words for sure.
That's the mystery. We don't know if that's what Brigham Young said, and we don't even know if Brigham Young actually said it. Yet, there is a huge monument to the east of the Salt Lake City that actually commemorates the Mormons coming through that Immigration Canyon, and supposedly it's called the This Is the Place Monument, and it, of course, is attributed to Brigham Young, who allegedly made that statement. But there's some problems with this story. As you can tell from what we just read here, it gives the impression that there were people who were here before Brigham Young made that statement. In fact, Orson Pratt, a Mormon apostle, had brought an expedition of people into the Salt Lake Valley 2 days prior to when Brigham Young finally arrived later on July 24th. And as it says here, that Brigham Young was actually in a wagon and he was sick. He was actually suffering from what I believe Rocky Mountain fever, if I'm not mistaken.
Rocky Mountain fever, huh?
But there's a contradiction. Was he in a wagon? Was he in a carriage? We're not exactly sure.
Well, the conference report of April 1915, J. Golden Kimball had said when Brigham Young came with the pioneers, he was sick and prostrated in the wagon in which he was riding. He rose and saw this valley and said, "This is the place, drive on."
And that's no big deal. I mean, even though we have another account where Wilford Woodruff says that he was actually in his carriage. Now, maybe they called carriages and wagons the same thing back then. That's really neither here nor there. However, we find that in a conference report in April of 1947, Milton R. Hunter is citing Wilford Woodruff, the fourth president of the Mormon Church,
who was there when this happened.
He is the one that supposedly had Brigham Young in his carriage. He had made like a bed in the back for Brigham Young. And then he talks about this story of how Wilford Woodruff described this experience in his journal as follows.
He says, "When we came out of the canyon into full view of the valley, I turned the side of my carriage around, open to the west, and President Young arose from his bed and took a survey of the country. While gazing on the scene before us, he was enwrapped in vision for several minutes. He had seen the valley before in vision, and upon this occasion he saw the future glory of Zion and of Israel as they would be planted in the valleys of these mountains. When the vision had passed, he said, quote, 'It is enough. This is the right place. Drive on.'"
Okay, so this is the right place. Drive on. Now, here's the thing. When we look at the date of July 24th, 1847, in Wilford Woodruff's diary, we find him giving all sorts of details regarding what took place on that day when he finally arrived into the valley, but he doesn't mention anything about Brigham Young making such a statement.
Now, we read that together before the show, Bill, and I think you read it to me so we would hear it. I didn't count, but must have been 6 minutes in length. I mean, you read and read and read. It was a lot of detail.
It was a long entry into his journal. There's no doubt. It takes about 2 pages in the book,
absolutely,
Waiting for World's End. I even have the page number here. It's 122 and 123 is where you can find that account.
But it's a long segment, and that's an interesting point. He gives a lot of details, but something that is the most famous thing that supposedly came on that day is not mentioned once in his diary.
In fact, 41 years after the fact, Wilford Woodruff gave a speech, and this is what he said. He said, "My dear friends, 41 years ago this day, I passed through Immigration Canyon with President Brigham Young. He was taken sick on East Canyon Creek, and I made a bed for him in my carriage. When we came upon the bench where he had a fair view of the valley before us, I turned the side of the vehicle to the west so that he could obtain a fair view of the valley. President Young rose from his bed and took a survey of the country before him for several minutes. Then he said to me, 'Drive on down into the valley. This is our abiding place. I have seen it before in vision.'" Now notice the words are different again.
Mm-hmm.
"Drive on down into the valley. This is our abiding place. I have seen it before in vision. In this valley will be built the city of the saints and the temple of our God. I drove down to the encampment already formed by a portion of our company who had cut a road through the quaking asp groves of timber which were in the bed of the canyon and come in ahead of us. We arrived in the encampment at 11:30 on the morning of the 24th of July, 1847. The brethren had already turned out City Creek and irrigated the dry and barren soil, being the first irrigation ever performed by anyone in these mountains in this age."
One of the things that we find when time goes on and legend builds is things get added into the story. And reading this, and we're just reading a lot of this for the first time today. I've never read through all of this material, but I was amazed at how the words were different. It was in such detail 41 years later, because that's found in Collected Discourses, Volume 1, page 163, in such detail that wasn't given in his journal. If this was as important as Woodruff was making this out to be in the 1880s, how come he did not include this information in his diary of the day of July 24th, 1847?
Well, even Brigham Young never mentions saying such a comment. In his diary, we don't find any statement like that being made. Now, it could be argued that maybe Brigham Young was a humble person and didn't want to include such profound words. First of all, I think we would argue that he probably wasn't the most humble person, and if he did say it, he probably would include it. But in a book on Heber C. Kimball, it's titled Heber C. Kimball, Mormon Patriarch and Pioneer, written by Stanley B. Kimball, who was the great-great-grandson of Heber C. Kimball, he says, and I'm quoting from the book, "Young's own journal entry was equally prosaic." He goes on to say, this is quoting Young, "I started early this morning," he wrote, "and after crossing Immigration Canyon Creek 18 times, emerged from the canyon, encamped with the main body at 2 p.m. So he doesn't mention looking over this valley. You think if he was having a vision, and that's the impression that we're given from the other writings, if he was having a vision, he would mention it. But he goes on to say, in that book. Likewise, Wilford Woodruff, an indefatigable diarist, noted only that President Young expressed his full satisfaction in the appearance of the valley as a resting place for the saints, and was amply repaid for his journey. It was a few days, however, before the final decision was made to settle where they were. On July 25th, William Clayton noted in his journal, quote, "We shall go tomorrow, if Brigham Young is well enough, in search of a better location, if indeed such can be found. If not, we shall remain here." Brigham Young's illness prevented any further searching, and July 28th, Clayton recorded, quoting, "The brethren are more and more satisfied that we are already on the right spot." And Norton Jacob noted in his journal that Young said, "I know this is the right spot. I knew this spot as soon as I saw it." 33 years later, after Young was dead, during the excitement of Mormonism's 50-year jubilee in 1880, Woodruff embellished the events of July 24th, 1847, with the following afterthought. Brigham Young, quote, "was enwrapped in vision for several minutes. He had seen the valley before in vision, and upon this occasion he saw the future glory of Zion and of Israel as they would be planted in the valleys of these mountains. When the vision had passed, he said, 'It is enough. This is the right place. Drive on.'" Such was the origin of the most famous single statement in Mormon history, but little known in Young's day. This is the place.
This is the place. How many people don't know this story and how Woodruff embellished the events? And that makes sense. Later on, you get caught up in the excitement. You come up with new stories. The idea that Brigham Young pointed and they knew this was the place, according to this book, they didn't know for 3 or 4 days. They're considering maybe going out, but Brigham Young is sick and he needs a place to stay.
And most people that you talk to think that they didn't even realize that this was the place until Brigham Young said this was the place. But notice, folks, 2 days prior, Orson Pratt arrives with another party and they're already digging irrigation ditches. They're already starting to build. They are planning on staying here.
How did they know?
How did they know? Unless maybe Brigham Young told Pratt beforehand, that's quite a possibility. But the story isn't quite the way most Mormons believe it.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you ever wondered where you can go in Utah to look at the largest inventory of Christian books addressing the Mormon religion? Well, the answer is the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City, located at 1358 South and West Temple, just across the street from Spring Mobile Ballpark. Sandra Tanner and her staff will assist you in finding a resource that will help meet your study needs. Now, the store also carries dozens of books that she and her husband Gerald have written over the past 5 decades. This includes Mormonism, Shadow or Reality. And if you have questions, there is always someone behind the desk who would be happy to speak with you. If you want to go deeper into any issue related to Mormonism, we invite you to visit the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, open Mondays through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Saturdays from 1 to 5. The Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, once again located right there at 1358 South and West Temple. We look forward to seeing you soon.